Blog Talk Radio.
The Visionary Hotspot. Talk radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot. Inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you. You are me. And we are Visionary Women.
Hello, hello, and welcome everyone to the visionarywoman.com, to the wonderful, wonderful Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio. And today we have with us Terry McMullen. How are you, Terry? Yes. Well, Terry is with us today, everyone, and she's getting herself all set up. So, Terry, when you pull in into the studio, just let us know. Everyone, today we're talking about gathering the courage to move forward. And, you know, it's very important that we keep it honest about gathering the courage to move forward in any endeavor that we ever choose to go in, whether it's some kind of living our life's purpose, whether it is also us moving forward from our hurtful past. So it's vital for us to live in a place, in a space where we can gather the courage to move forward. Terry, are you with us?
I am.
Wonderful, Terry.
Me?
I'm so glad.
Good.
Yes, we can. We can hear you. I am so glad you are here with us today. So, Terry, tell me, why is this subject so near and dear to you?
Well, I think as an educator, I have spent most of my life trying to help students to better themselves and to become all that they hope to achieve. And through all of that, I've seen a lot of heartaches in the lives of the students that I've worked with. But most of all, I've seen a lot of heartache in my own life. And my life has been an ever-changing journey through adoption and an adversity and a reading disability. And each individual part of this has taken on a story all of its own. And I know there's a lot of great adoption stories told across the world, but sometimes adoption's tough. And mine was a tough one. And my life started out in an orphanage in Texas and being adopted by a family who wanted to raise a baby girl. But my new blended family was full of a lot of hurt and rejection and favoritism. So I learned at a very young age that no one is better than another and that we all needed each other.
Right.
And it was through adversity that I gathered the courage to step forward, to make something out of my life, to work hard and to follow my dreams. I had to put a lot of hurt behind me, and I had to forgive and move forward. But the strength that I gained from dealing with, I'm going to say, rejection and failure and disappointment moved me forward with the determination and a lot of patience to just make something out of myself.
Wow. You know what's very interesting? Because you were talking about how you were adopted by a family in Texas. And what I find so fascinating is that we oftentimes think that adoption is this new beginning for a better life, giving to your children from a life that could possibly be worse. But what we don't realize is it's a terrible feeling. It has to be something that sticks with you when you start off life as an infant being rejected already. And that's something that as adults, we get older, we become rejected by our peers, our spouses, and sometimes even our loved ones. But it has to be something that is done to the heart. When you're an infant and you are literally homeless, you have nowhere to go. So, therefore, you're placed in an adoption agency. And so my question to you is, how did you gain the courage to face that hurt, that pain? Because that's so I have four children. And that is something that I don't know how I would be able to rationalize with as an adult and then looking back on it if I had to go through that same pain as a child.
Well, it was hard. I will tell you it was hard. But a faith that just, my faith in the Lord picked me up and carried me through. And I had a praying grandmother. And it was those connections that made me strong.
Wow.
And I've seen kids in foster care. And I've been in foster care myself. Because of a reading disability, I was failing in school. And I was working hard to put words together, to spell, to comprehend, to write sentences. And no matter how hard I worked, I was failing. So the teachers in the time, now this was in 1963, teachers did not really understand dyslexia or reading disability.
I see.
So my family put me in foster care. So not only had I been adopted, but now I'm in foster care. And I'm in foster care because I'm failing in school. So
wow.
I had to kind of put all of that together, and within me, because of failure, and failure was a part of my world at the time as a child, but I didn't let the negative part of that time of my life slow me down. That I had a grind and a burning desire from deep within to be successful. And, you know, it's easy to say nowadays, and when I'm in my middle 60s, to say, wow, you know, that was really tough, but you made it. But it did. It gave me a lot of tenacity and fortitude to better myself, and all of that fortitude and tenacity helped to cancel out the adversity that was set before me. The other thing I had was a lot of encouragement from people outside of my family. And that is really, really big and very helpful. You know, words, positive words to a child can motivate them to go past beyond what they think they could ever do.
Wow. You know what? I think we also tend to take for granted how powerful and how important teachers are. Because I can remember as a small child, you mentioned your praying grandmother. I had a very praying grandmother also. She was my great-grandmother. And I remember as a small child having a teacher named Miss Reed who would push me further than any other teacher I ever had, because she knew, she saw something in me that she felt was worthy, and I was being lazy and wasn't living up to my greatest potential. So, and I mean, I'm just being honest. It just is. Charmaine was very lazy in school. I wasn't going to do it. You wasn't going to make me a great person. I preferred to be in the background and kind of be like on autopilot. And this one teacher, she was like, oh, no, you will sit here every single day for the rest of this year until you get it. So my question to you is, gathering the courage to move forward, I think it almost seems like that was a theme throughout your entire life. Now that I'm actually thinking about it, I mean, really, from infancy to going into school to being, you know, put in a foster care system, it's almost like every single part of your life has a phase where you're gathering the courage to move forward. And then you're stopping and you're plateauing and you're gathering the courage to move forward. So I guess my question is there something about a person who lives in that kind of tenacity, that boldness, the audacity to be so bold? Is there something in you that says that we all should live within the realm of that kind of tenacity? If not, we just kind of give our power away.
I agree 100%. And if, you know, life is really just continuation of steps forwards, if I can say it that way. We step forward with everything that we do, and we have some choices to make. And if I could back up just a little bit, my elementary school years were really tough, and I had some good teachers, but they didn't understand, and they would have pushed me forward if they had understood dyslexia. So their solution and my family's solution was to send me away to a foster home. So I was basically what I'm going to call out of sight and out of mind from those who didn't know how to help me. And on a cold Sunday afternoon in 1963, the beginning semester of the fifth grade, I'm now in a foster home. I was 9 years old. you know, that was a challenge that I was not prepared for, and I had to dig down really deep inside of me to gather up my courage and work through the feeling of abandonment.
Right, because that's with anybody. I mean, you know, if you have a puppy, I mean, really, I have a big 75-pound boxer, and she's a big baby. She is a huge baby. That dog she is the most sweet animal ever. But literally, if I got ready to leave and take her to the vet for boarding, you'll hear her crying. Because it's like,
yes.
Where you going? And I know you coming back in here to come get me. I don't know these other animals. I don't belong in here with these people. Literally. She goes through separation anxiety. So let's push that forward and make it human. You know, what does that do to the human, to the actual human being who has the living soul, the living thought, the breathing life, and how will that affect them affecting someone else? Because here's the thing. When people are hurt and or are hurting, they lash out on other people. And they usually lash out on the people who they care about the most. What do you think?
I agree. And you have two choices. You either get angry and succumb to the environment, the change that you don't understand, or you get real bold and you work your way through it. Anger can go either direction. You can
Yes.
be bold with anger. But you have to take that anger, and it's, like I said, it's easier to understand now than it was as a child, but to break it into pieces and say, all right, why am I angry? How can I get through this, and what steps do I need to work through that anger so that I can move forward in my life?
Wow. And it's very easy to get angry because, you know, the truth of the matter is certain things are just simply not fair. I don't care what you say, what people think. Some things in life are simply not fair. I was raised by my grandmother. My mother and father did not raise me. My father died when I was a very, very young girl, and my mother had epilepsy, so she couldn't raise us. And so when you think in terms of what feels fair, it is the most natural, at least it's supposed to be, the most natural bond is supposed to be between a mother and her children. And so when
Right.
you have that absence as a child, see, I was raised by a blood relative, so I kind of,
right.
I still had a connection, whereas when you think of these children being placed in these foster care agencies and placed in foster homes, I mean, that's challenging in itself, but if you're placed in a home where it's no love or you don't feel the love or you don't even know how to receive it, it can really turn out very tumultuous. So How do you give advice to children who are going through that very thing right now, and they're 16 and 17 and 18 years old, and they're terrified because they know in a few years they're going to be left out into the world, and they don't know how to live in itself?
But it is scary. It is scary. The advice I would give to younger folks today is to sit down, dig down deep inside, and start looking at maybe what you want to do for the future, but also the other side of that is to look at your passion and your purpose. What are you passionate about? For me, it was animals. I've ridden horses all my life. I've got them to this very day. I've had dogs all my life, and now I have rescued animals that needed a home.
Wow.
But I understand where they come from, and I understand each one of their needs. And the kids that don't have the home, that feel lost, you know, they all have needs just like everybody else. And their needs may be, first of all, I've got to deal with my fear.
Right.
I've got to deal with rejection and anger, the sense of abandonment, and we've got to bring it
Wow.
together. So there comes a time, too, when others could step in and help, because, Charmaine, I'm telling you, a word of encouragement, an act of
Yes.
kindness can
Yes.
go such a long way in helping a person. I had a neighbor
Oh,
when
wow.
I was in the foster home bring me one of his horses to ride. That was huge for me, and that helped me get through that foster home situation.
Wow.
That was an act of kindness. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm listening because I thought you were finished with your thought, because the thought of just that one act of kindness, that one neighbor who decided he was going to bring you that horse, and look at how it
right.
changed your life forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I
wow.
think that if these kids that are, you know, needing that family structure, and there are so many blended families today that kids may have a roof over their head, but they don't feel a part of that family.
Right.
But I think if we could all, each one of us, take a step backwards and say, look, you know, what can we do to help the folks around us, either it's within the family, our neighbors, the people that we work for, a word of encouragement, an act of kindness, I think we could sure make this world a whole lot better.
Oh, I believe it. I absolutely agree with you. And, you know, it was so funny that you mentioned that, because I've always been a very spontaneous person. And so here recently, I've always been thoughtful, but I just wanted to make it a point to make sure I let the people around me know, and or the people that I'm associated know, that I appreciate them. So I started under my lines on Facebook, on my tags and things, I would tag my friends and let them know how I appreciate them and what that was, what it meant to me, how they've affected me. And everybody was like, oh, my gosh, Charmaine, are you okay? You're not sick? No, I'm not dying. I'm not giving you a goodbye. I just simply wanted to let you know that I appreciate you. There's nothing wrong in my world. I'm fine. You're fine. But my great-grandmother used to have this saying, Terry. She used to say, give me my flowers while I'm still living, is what my grandmother, my great-grandmother used to say. And I have always kept that saying in my mind, give me my flowers while I'm still living. And the reason why that stuck with me is the very thing you mentioned about how when you let someone know that you appreciate them, you give them that word of encouragement, it changes their world forever. And then they, in turn, begin to start changing other people's lives for the better. What do you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. Absolutely. And I love what your grandmother said, and I'm going to write it down and put it in my house. That give me my flowers while I'm living.
Yes,
I remember.
Yes.
Charmaine, I remember when I was trying to get into college. There was a period from high school, and I was working full-time for an animal emergency clinic, and I loved what I was doing, and I loved helping the animals, but I knew I had to better myself. So I basically stood in front of a full-length mirror one day, and I asked myself a question. I said, self, what if you don't try to achieve your goals to better yourself? And what if you don't do anything? Are you going to just sit down for the rest of your life and just sit there and watch the world go by? And that question resonated through my being. And I didn't really have a verbal answer, but I had a sinking feeling inside.
Wow.
And from that, I thought, I got to make my life better. So what am I going to do? I needed some education. I needed a future with insurance,
right?
And I needed job security. So I made this huge first step forward, and I went down and I enrolled in a local 2-year college. Well, now I went to college with no money, but I had a reading disability and a poor educational background.
Mm.
But I did not focus on the negatives. And that's I think, a key point for young people today is to not focus on the negative, but to look at the steps forward and to know steps forward are going to take some work. You know, we're kind of living in a day where everything is instantaneous and entertaining, and a lot of the hard work that goes into making your life better is not seen as much as it was, you know, back even 50, 100 years ago.
Incredible. Incredible. That is so fascinating.
I didn't focus on the negative, and I had that flame and the momentum to move forward.
Right. That is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Hey, everyone, we're going to take ourselves a small 33-second break, but we will be back with you with Terry McMullen as we continue to discuss gathering the courage to move forward.
Join us at thevisionarywoman.com, a media network of women, for women, by women. Watch our hosts of insightful video exchange interviews. Listen to the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio to empower your evenings and read fascinating articles of perseverance and inspiration, all with you in mind. Visit thevisionarywoman.com and follow us on our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Yes, everyone. So we are back here with Terry McMullen as we talk about gathering the courage to move forward. And Terry, before we went to a commercial, we talked about being able to not simply move forward, but we also spoke about the hurt, the pain that goes along with it, hurting others. We gathered ourselves into a place where we talked about being able to make a difference in someone else's life while they're still here on this planet and in this realm of life to be able to appreciate it. So my next question to you is, how did you get to a place where you were comfortable enough to tell your story? Because everyone, you may or may not know, but Terry McMullen has written the most fascinating book called Gathering the Courage to Move Forward, henceforth the title of the show. And this book was, it will engulf you. It will make you cry. It will make you think. And it will bring inspiration to your life. Not to mention, Terry, if you could share with our audience the amazing award you just won.
I did. I guess I will start with that award, and I'm still pretty much speechless. You can imagine that. But just a few weeks ago, Gathering Courage was honored to receive the 2017 Silver Enduring Light Medal Award for Christian Thought for a book with an exemplary Christian theme. And this award, this award was for books with an enduring message. And I'm just grateful and honored to have received it. 3.5 years ago, I felt like that really it was the Lord's calling for me to start writing about my life because, you know, I've been in a foster home. I went to a 2-year college, and then I decided I was going to the largest university in the state of Texas. And
wow,
a lot of hard work and people that have helped me and teachers that have helped me and educators who sat down and said, Terry, I understand dyslexia. Let's work through math. And I went from the basic, almost addition and subtraction of math all the way up through calculus and statistics. And from that, you know, I just am grateful for the people that helped me, but I thought it's time to put my life story in writing. So I spent 3.5 years working midnight, 3 or 4 in the morning, after work, during lunch. My mind was constantly thinking about putting my life story together. And then I got it finished. I had it published, and then it started receiving all these great reviews and several other awards, and people were saying, Terry, your book has helped my life. It helped my life. And several people said, Terry, I too am adopted. And I didn't realize that there were other people with the same struggles, or people would send me a text message or call me and say, Terry, I have dyslexia. I had some of the same struggles that you had. I felt like I was being pulled down like quicksand. And then I'd start saying, you know, if I can do this, if I can get through everything that I have gotten through, you can do the same. Charmaine, I have the pleasure of mentoring several students in the school that I work with that have dyslexia. And we sit and we visit. I take a therapy dog with me most of the time. Of course, they all love my dog, but it helps them to look at me and say, gosh, you are dyslexic. You're a college graduate with 2 degrees from Texas A&M University. You've become an author. You've had a book published with the Prentice Hall Publishing Company, and now you've gone on to write the story of your life. You designed your book, you put it together, and it's being successful. And if they look at me almost with tears in their eyes and say, if you can do it, I can do it.
Wow. Wow. And that has got to feel so exhilarating, because when you think about it, so many people live a life of just sheer vanity. There is no real significance behind anything that they do in life. They're not impacting someone else's world for the better. They're not changing the spectrum of life for any real good other than their own narcissistic mannerism. Because I'm just keeping it honest. We have become such a narcissistic society where we don't even think about other people anymore. We don't think about how to be kind to our neighbors and to each other. And so I applaud you for being willing, because that's a willingness. You know, I have four children. I homeschool all four of them. The itty bitty little one, he doesn't need homeschooling, but he needs a timeout. And when he does, he really does. He's terrible, but I love him. Oh my God, I wouldn't take him any other way. And with my kids, I know it has got to be challenging, because with just the way they are, and I understand how they are and how their brains work, etc. You know, they've always been home. In that regard, it must be challenging to deal with children who have learning disabilities, and it's not so much a dealing with, but more so trying to understand how they feel.
Yes, yes, and they dyslexia in particular, of course, and I understand it because I am dyslexia, and I will always have dyslexia. But a lot of kids will say, I feel like I'm sinking. I feel like there's this monster inside of me that rises up when I'm trying to read or I'm trying to study or I'm trying to concentrate. And I know for myself, if I do a lot of reading, sometimes those words still just kind of float around, and spelling is not my forte. But, you know, I've got technology today to help, and I always have everything that I write edited. You know, we all have the errors that we make, but I seem to, with dyslexia, I still continue to make them, although I look at my work and go over it. But the kids that I'm working with today with dyslexia, particularly in my school system, and I know it's the same probably across the United States, there's a lot of great programs out to help these kids, but then reading specialists are right there with them to help them go over phonics and coding and spelling and recognizing words and timing yourself so that you can learn to read a little bit faster. And then giving those kids a place to be to take a test that maybe is a bit more quiet than what's in the classroom to make them be successful. Phonics
and to give them, I would
part of my curriculum when I was younger, and that was a real huge key for helping me to be successful. And I'll be honest with you, I did not learn phonics until I sat down with a fellow teacher, and that teacher and I were co-authoring a book together on science fair. And so we would sit down in the evenings after work, and we'd go sentence after sentence, and that person, being a reading specialist, would take each sentence, break it apart, and say, Terry, we're going to talk about nouns, pronouns, adjectives, adverbs, and all that good stuff. And so I learned more about phonics from that person than I ever have learned, and then the things I should have learned when I was in elementary school.
Wow. Well, you know, Terry, we have enjoyed listening to your wonderful and fascinating life. We cannot wait to buy your book. We have literally 49 seconds left in the show. Tell my audience where we can find your wonderful book.
Well, thank you, Charmaine. You can go to my website if you would like a personalized signed copy. It is gatheringcouragemedia.com, and I will be glad to mail you a book. I'd be honored to mail you a book. And I'm starting to do guest speaking, so if my email is gatheringcouragemedia, if you feel like that I would be a type of person you would like to have speak to your audience.
Wonderful. absolutely wonderful. Well, everyone, I am so glad you had the opportunity to join us today at the wonderful video exchange, thevisionarywoman.com and the Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio Show. And we will see you next Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
The Visionary Hotspot Talk Radio with the consciousness of women, for women, by women. A radio show bridging the gap among women desiring their purpose with the world's greatest minds, achievers, and believers of women's progress. The Visionary Hotspot, inspiring, encouraging, enlightening, and empowering women to live life as our greatest self. I am you, you are me, and we are visionary women.